to turn our thoughts for a moment to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And these are Paul's words. He writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the high place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds today. This morning, to think about humility or gentle strength in imitating Christ's humility. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard a story about the CEO of Chick-fil-A. And the CEO of Chick-fil-A requested an audience with the Pope. It was very hard to get that audience, but finally he was agreed to have an audience with the Pope. And so as they sat down and began to exchange some niceties, and after a few moments, the CEO of Chick-fil-A said, "Well, listen, I have a proposal for you." And the Pope said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, I wonder if I could give you $1 million if you would change the line in the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And the Pope said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't do that." And so they talked a little while longer, and the CEO came back and said, "Well, I wonder if I could give you $5 million if you would change that line in the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken.'" And the Pope declined again, said, "No, I said, that's completely impossible." And talked a little while longer, and then finally the CEO of Chick-fil-A said, "Listen, what if I gave you $20 million? Could you change that line in the Lord's Prayer from 'Give us this day our daily bread' to 'Give us this day our daily chicken?'" And the Pope said, "Okay, for $20 million, I'll do that." And he said, "Great." And so that afternoon, the Pope was meeting with some of the cardinals. He said, "Well, I've got some good news and some bad news." And so he said, "The good news is we just got a $20 million account from Chick-fil-A." And they all applauded. And then finally, the cardinals asked the Pope, he said, "Well, what's the bad news?" And he said, "Well, the bad news is we lost a Wonder Bread account." You know, today, in our culture, we think a lot about being number one and being top, whatever that costs. And Jesus has a completely different model for us. He has a model of humility. And Paul really draws our attention to that this morning. I want to think about humility and what does it mean to really be humble, and the power of humility in our hearts and lives. And we have to remember that Paul is writing from prison. And so Paul, even though he's a great apostle, he's in prison, and he realized that his task and duty at that moment in time is to write letters of encouragement. And so he's writing to this small church that really is a humble place also. It's along a major highway, but it's in a small city, and it's really a small church. But he writes to them and wants them to have a kind of a heart of humility in all that they do. And so when you think about that today, the question to each of us is what is our attitude in our hearts and lives today? To sort of recap what Paul was saying about humility, he says, "Listen, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ," and that word encouragement is parakaleo. That's the word that we get Holy Spirit from. And really, it's the duty of the Holy Spirit to encourage us. But you and I also have a ministry of encouragement. All of us have the ministry of encouragement. And so this morning, you might have the right word of encouragement for a sister and brother in Christ who's going through a struggle or difficulty, and you know something about that. And he goes on to say, if you have any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, and really it literally is if you have a heart of compassion, deep felt compassion in your heart and soul. He said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. And here, for a moment, this is how it reads in the Message Bible, which is a nice sort of paraphrase edition. And it says this in the same sort of passage. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, and if his love has made any difference in your life, if being a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. That really cuts to the heart of the matter, doesn't it? And humility really is a key to life. But what is really the definition of humility? Well, I think it's this. Someone once said, humility is not weakness, but gentle strength. And isn't that true? Humility is not weakness, but gentle strength. And Paul gives those characteristics of being like-minded and same love and spirit and purpose and nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But the word itself really is the same word that's used for breaking or gentling a horse. Now, I don't know how many horse ranchers we have out there or people who've ridden a horse, but it's the same. Even if you go out to horse country, they'll talk about gentling a horse even in the American West. Think about a horse this morning, and a horse can be a powerful creature, and that power can either be under control or not under control. Now, when I was growing up, we didn't have horses, but the neighbors had horses, and most of them were pretty gentle and easy to ride, and we grew up riding bareback. We thought that saddles were for rich people, so we didn't know any better. But in any case, there was one horse that no one could ride, except for one person who was Tom, the neighbor boy, and it was a white stallion, and it was just an incredible creature. And I remember one day I was standing in the front yard, and Tom had come home from the military, and I saw him, this streak of white. He was riding this horse bareback, no bridle, nothing, just going like a streak through the field, and he was screaming, sounding like some kind of Comanche yell, and he had an adult beverage in his hand, and his hair was kind of blowing a breeze, and I thought, wow, that's life. It was so moved by that, I said, wow, backwards again. So I was just like, wow. And so that image was burned on my mind, and I thought, gee, I'd love to ride that horse. And one day, Tom was back in the military, he was overseas, and his younger sister, who was older than me, she was pretty good looking, she's a couple years older than me, and she just out of the blue said, what would you think about riding that horse? You know, the white stallion. And what do you do when a good-looking girl a couple years older says, do you want to ride a stallion that no one in her right mind would want to? And I said, of course, sure. So we got on, and she got on behind me, and everything was fine for just a little while. There was that moment where I thought, I'm almost like Tom, riding into the breeze there. And then all of a sudden, the horse started to buck, and it's bucking with the hind legs up in the air, and I don't know how, but then it was running at full speed, and its neck was straight down the ground like it was a lawnmower. And so the back end's going up, and the front end's down, and I'm starting to sort of fall down the neck of the horse, and I thought the horse is going to run over me, and I'm not only going to get bucked up, I'm going to run over. And the neighbor girl really isn't helping me that much. She's holding on, but she's making sure that she's on the horse. So that seemed to last for an eternity, and all of a sudden the horse just stopped dead. And I did my best to not slide down the neck of the horse, and I ended up sort of halfway hanging onto the neck of the horse, and there I am, and I'm just out of breath, and she said, are you okay? And I said, well, of course I'm okay. So that was the last time I rode that horse. But it does bring to mind the fact that horses are powerful creatures, but that power can either be under control or not under control. Wasn't under control that day, that's for sure. And so when you think about humility, think about that power of a horse, but when a horse is broken, when it's gentle, then that powerful horse can do incredible things. It can almost dance, if you've seen the Olympics in some cases, and it can do all kinds of things and has incredible strength. And the same is true for you and I. All of us have gifts and talents. All of us have some strength in our hearts and lives. And Paul has challenged us to allow God to break our lives, to gentle our lives, so that God can use that strength in ways that are meaningful to others. And we all go through moments where, you know, we're probably this unbridled bundle of energy, but God can break us and funnel that strength in a really powerful way. So humility is not weakness, but gentle strength. And if you look at the examples of humility, Christ is the preeminent example of humility. You think of the gospel reading this morning and the children coming up here, and Jesus was teaching, and you can only imagine Jesus and maybe hundreds of people, maybe more, were there, and disciples are sort of this crowd barrier for those people, and all of a sudden these parents arrive with their kids and they wanted Jesus to place his hands on them and to bless them, and disciples pushed them back, and then Jesus saw them and said, wait, don't hinder the children from coming to me, for such is the kingdom of God. And Jesus had the humility to bless those children. Who knows that that moment that Jesus took and touched those children on the head and blessed them, that that didn't change their life and they went on to do great things. We'll never know this side of eternity, but all of us have time for children in our hearts and lives, and children are wonderful. And I probably, the best part this morning is seeing this quilt done and kids talk about that. You know, sometimes we begin to think too much of ourselves, and God has a way of bringing us down. There's true story, Albert Einstein, later in his career, really couldn't drive and did this lecture circuit, and so he had a chauffeur to drive him around. Now, it turned out that the chauffeur looked really very much like Albert Einstein, and so one day, chauffeur had been driving Albert Einstein around for quite a bit, and Albert Einstein was giving these lectures, and he was talking to his chauffeur, and he said, you know, I'm just so tired, I just don't feel like I can give this lecture, and chauffeur said, well, boss, you know, I've heard your speech so many times, I believe I could give it. And why don't you just switch, and I'll give you the chauffeur hat, and you give me the jacket, and see what he can do. And Albert Einstein had a sense of humor. He said, sure, why not? And so this chauffeur gets up in front of this group of elite scholars, and he starts giving this lecture on antimatter formation, all kinds of things, and he's doing really great. And finally, at the end of that lecture, this scholar wanted to sort of show off his knowledge, maybe asked this really erudite question, and this chauffeur didn't know what to do, and so without missing a beat, he said, you know what, that question is so simple, I'm going to have my chauffeur answer it in the back of the room. So Albert Einstein stood up, no one knew it, and gave the answer to that question. So you never know, there's circumstances in life that can kind of break us down and make us really who we ought to be. And Paul says this, he says, your attitude ought to be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every name should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And that's a beautiful picture of humility. And if you and I would do this, we'd find incredible unity in the church, and also a synergy as we all bring our gifts and talents together and we work together. Then all of a sudden that energy and strength that we have is gentled, and it is put to use in a powerful way that touches lives in our church, in our neighborhood, in the community, and really even around the world. So this morning I challenge all of us and ask us, where's our humility? Are you gentled by the Lord? Are you open to having the Lord break your heart and life? When you think for a moment, that word humility, the root word there is humus, which is really soil or dirt that's been broken down, and it's good for growth. It's good for growth as you and I as individuals, but also the growth for our church and ministry and mission to our community and around the world this morning. You think of a lot of examples of humility. You think of David, who was the youngest of Jacob's sons, and you think of Moses, who is, despite his incredible task that he had of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, is said to be the humblest man in the world. You know, humility does great things if we allow it, because it surrenders our life to God. I'd like to think for a moment in closing about a great example of humility that I like, which is President Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln often would go to hospitals during the war and would visit soldiers. And at one such time, President Lincoln went to the hospital and soldiers were wounded there. And doctors pointed out a young man who they knew would not have long to live, and asked the president if he would visit that young man. And so the president went up to this young man. The young man was so injured and near death, he didn't recognize the president. And Lincoln said, is there anything I can do for you? And the soldier, who didn't recognize him, said, well, listen, I don't think I have long. Would you please write a letter to my mother? And President Lincoln said, sure. And so he got a paper and pencil and sat down next to this young man. And he began to take the words that he said. He said, my dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty. I'm afraid I'm not going to recover. Don't grieve too much for me, please. Kiss Mary and John for me, and may God bless you and Father. The soldier was really too weak to continue, and so the president signed the letter and said, written for your son by President Abraham Lincoln. The young man asked if he could read the letter, and when he got to the bottom, he said, are you really the president? And the President Lincoln said, yes, I am. And he said, is there anything else I could do for you? And the young man said, well, would you just hold my hand here until the end? And the president did. He held his hand until the very end and spoke words of encouragement. That's an example of humility, of gentle strength. And you and I, may not be the president, but you and I all have a moment that we can share with someone else and have a word of encouragement. How do we do that? I want to close with this illustration, which I think really puts it to the heart of the matter, which is we need to put Christ first in our hearts and lives, and when we do, things will go the way we should. And stories told of a young girl who was next to her father in the waiting room of a doctor's office, and he didn't bring any toys, and the doctor's office didn't have any toys, and the girl was awfully fidgety waiting for the doctor. And so the father looked in the magazine, and there was a picture of the world, and so he tore up the picture of the world into all kinds of little pieces, and he mixed them up and put them on the table right there, and he said, okay, go ahead and put together the picture of the world, and thought that that would take her quite a while. And so he went back to reading his magazine, and just a few minutes later, the girl tugged on his arm and said, I got the picture of the world together. And his father said, well, that's incredible. How did you do that? The little girl said, well, it's easy. I saw a picture of a man on the other side, and I just put together the picture of the man, and the world came together. And you know, it's really a picture of the way we are before Christ. And the world is complicated. There's a lot of things going on. We can't find our place. But if we'll put together Christ in the right way in our hearts and lives, then the rest of the picture of the world will come together in the right way. And you and I, the church, are the pieces of that. And when we come together in the right way, in the image of Christ, then we can impact the world in a powerful way. And I think humility is one of the greatest keys to that. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for the time to gather together as sisters and brothers in Christ. And sometimes, Lord, we struggle with our own issues and with all that's around us, and we really don't know how to find our place. Help us to be broken and find the gentle strength of humility that you showed us how to, and that your Spirit helps us to have that gentle strength. Help us to reach out to others and have a word of encouragement and be united in love and comfort one another and find that gentle power that Jesus showed us the way to through your power and to your glory. Amen.